There's a lot of times when things just not make sense. It just not make sense. There are times where we believe there's a period and God is saying, no, it's a comma. There's also times where we think it's a comma, but God feels like it's a period. We just don't understand. And we're so trying logically to figure it out. And it's actually so ironic this morning, because this message is really for me. Because I'm very much in my head, I'm trying to figure it out, and I forgot my notes at home. So here I am. I'm being vulnerable, I'm being real with you. There might be things right now in your life that it just does not make sense. Now I want to beg you, let's sit at Jesus' feet this morning. Let's ask Him to show us. Father, Lord, we just come to You this morning, and I just want to thank You for who You are and for the hope that You give us, Lord. Lord, I just pray that You will send Your Holy Spirit to fill this place, Lord. Send Your angels, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and speak to our minds, Father. And I pray this in Your precious name. Amen. So we're going to read, if you want to get your Bibles out or devices, or you're going to read in the front, we're going to read Acts 11, verse 1 to 18. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them?" Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being laid down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has entered my mouth.' The voice from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Sent to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As they began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as He had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, listen to this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Now, so in our story today, again, this is a situation where it just does not make sense. Let me give you guys a little bit of context. Let's go back when the Israelites were in the wilderness. As the Israelites camped, what you would see is you'll see a neat camp, and right in the middle is a tabernacle, the holy place. This was called the camp. There was also an area called outside the camp. Outside the camp was where the criminals were. This is where the execution happened. Executions happened. This is also where the lepers were. Outside the camp was also the place where the bodies of animals that got sacrificed got burnt. So there was actually a stench around outside the camp. This is a horrible place. Outside the camp was also a place for foreigners, for Gentiles. There's a massive separation between being in the camp and being outside the camp. This is the context. The context between Jews and Gentiles that's been with them for hundreds of years. And God is saying he's going to change that. But this is what was going in Peter's mind, the Gentiles' minds, and the Jews' minds. It's almost like, I was trying to think of an example today, it's almost like the Eagle fans and the Cowboy fans getting to a point where they're actually sitting next to each other and being best friends. It just does not make sense. It just doesn't. It's like South Africans like the Australians. We don't like each other. Okay? It just does not make sense. But it's fascinating. If you look at the rest of the Bible, you know, you take the story of Noah. God spoke to Noah. And they reckon that Noah spent between 55 and 70 years building this ark. Now, can you imagine how people were mocking him for 55 to 70 years to build this ark? It just does not make sense. You think of Abraham. God came to Abraham. He's 99 years old. His wife is 90 years old. And God is saying, you are going to be the father of all the descendants, like the sand of the sea. How does that make sense? And even when God asked him to take Isaac and offer him up, it just does not make sense. You look at the ministry of Jesus. Well, think about this. The virgin birth. What do you think people were saying about Mary and Joseph and about Jesus? Just does not make sense. You take it further in his ministry. Where the Jews were all saying, listen, we want you as king. And he enters on a donkey. He's telling them, turn your cheek. Love your enemies. He's spending time with the poor. The people outside the camp. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he asked God to forgive these people, these Roman soldiers. And he rose 3 days later. It just does not make sense. See, we're trying to logically figure things out all the time. We want certain things, but it's not what we need. Let me say that again. We want certain things, but it's not what we need. If you think about the world we live in today, it's all about faster, stronger, prettier, having a bigger house, having the security, being comfortable. That's what we want. That's what we want. And we get in that world. We are in that world. But it's not what we need. What we need is Jesus. That's what we need. I truly believe that the devil a lot of times takes us to a smaller space. And God always takes us back to a bigger space. When we're in a small space, is where our world is so small, and we're so much in our heads, and we're trying to figure it out, and our muscles are tight, and we're trying so hard, we try to make it happen. The big space where God always takes us is totally the opposite. We get out of our heads. We let it happen. Not make it happen. We let it happen. Our muscles get loose. It's a powerful place. So picture this. You're swimming upstream in a river, and you're swimming so hard. Your muscles are tight. You're tired. You're exhausted. And you keep swimming, and you keep swimming, and you keep swimming. You actually start losing hope. Your head feels like it wants to burst. You just cannot do this anymore. And you hear a little voice. And the voice is saying, let go. And you're like, no, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. If I let go, I'm going to go backwards. And you keep swimming. And you keep swimming. And the voice is saying again, let go. No, I cannot do that. Let go. And at that moment, you let go. And you feel your body going backwards. And you hear the voice again, and it's saying, stand up. Stand up. And you couldn't believe it. You realized the water was shallow. And you stand up. And what you see next is something you never thought was possible. This is a massive river that you are in. You're right here in the middle, and all the rapids are going this way. But 50 yards this way, and 50 yards this way. The water is quiet. It's peaceful. You can hear the birds singing. You can see the grass is green. The trees are luscious. You're standing there. You take a deep breath. And the first thing that comes over you is peace. Peace. Listen to me. There's no ticket price for peace. And we're always searching for peace. The peace is around us. It's around us. We just need to tap on that. We can only have that peace in Jesus. So you're going to say, okay, this is great, but you don't understand. I get in that small space so quickly. How do I get back into that big space? And I get it. To be honest with you, during your day, there's many times you're going to be in that small space, but you have to get back to that big space. How do you do that? The first step is really, you have to acknowledge that you're logically trying to figure this out. But it's not going to serve you. It's not going to work. So you need to let go of it. So acknowledge it. This is what I want. This is my flesh. This is what I want. This is how I'm trying to make sense of my world. I'm worrying about money. I'm doing this. Acknowledge it's not going to serve you. The second step is to surrender. Third step is rest in God's peace. Peace is around us. But here's the other amazing thing. God knew this is going to be hard for us. So he sent us some help. You know, when we look at our passage again this morning, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit was guiding Peter, was telling him what to do. How the Holy Spirit was guiding the people he was speaking to. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. That little voice is inside of you. You just need to slow down and listen. It's right there. We also read about the angel that appeared to Cornelius. We're living a spiritual life in our flesh. I mean, it's a spiritual world that we're in. I want to tell you guys just a very quick story. I think most of you guys know that my wife and I, Faith, we're fostering a little boy right now. His name is Josie. He's going to be 3 years old in September. He's from Burkina Faso, West Africa. And give you a little context, so Josie's crib is actually in our bedroom. And in the mornings, usually when he wakes up, I think those of you that know 2 and 3 years old, he gets up and it's one speed, man. Outside! Let's go! And so we feel very sorry for ourselves for a while, you know, because, Josie! But he's up. Boom! Go, go, go. So 3 weeks ago, 6 o'clock in the morning, I got up a little earlier, so I was in my office. And by the way, let me just pause here for a moment. I'm just running through the story very quickly. Faith actually wrote it down in details. And if you guys want to really read it, you know, we can share this with you. I'm going to leave a lot out. But so Josie woke up. Well, Faith woke up with Josie saying, "Angel." And he said, "Tani." He calls me Wim, and he calls Faith Tani, which in my first language is uncle and aunt. Okay? He said, "Tani, angel." It's like, "Josie." "Tani, angel." So she thought to herself, she got these willow tree angels. I don't even know exactly where they are in the bedroom, but they're in the bedroom. She first thought, you know, he was kind of seeing them. And he actually stood up, and he points to the corner of the room. I said, "Tiny angel." And at that moment, she realized, like, wait a minute, something was going on here. So she got up, she picked Josie up, and as she picked Josie up, his legs and his arms go around her and he's holding her tightly. He's scared. It's like, "Josie, are you okay?" See, the last time we actually did that was when he, at a St. Joe's basketball game, when the mascot, the Hawk, came by. That scared feeling, that really, really scared feeling. She said, "Josie, we don't have to be afraid of angels." So at that moment, she decided to come to the office, and so they came to the office, and I right away realized something was different, because trust me, every morning it's a different energy. And Faith explained to me, and so we went back to the bedroom. Now, we spent about 15, 20 minutes in the bedroom. Josie explained to us what he was seeing. He explained to us the mouth of the angel, the eyes, the ears. At one point he was saying, "Wings, wings like bird." And at that moment we realized, like, there's something going on here. And you could see how Josie is looking up and down. Up and down. I said, "Josie, why don't you touch the angel?" He said, no, scary." I said, "Why is it scary?" He says, "Big." I said, "How big? Is it bigger than Wim and Tiny?" He said, "Yeah, ceiling." And as he's saying ceiling, he's looking up at the ceiling. I said, "Josie, can I touch the angel?" He said, "Yes." So I leaned over. I said, "Josie, am I getting closer? Am I getting closer?" And there's a chair in the corner of the room. And I got closer. And at one point, I had goosebumps all over my body. It's that moment where I realized something is going on here. Faith did the same thing. At one point, we actually moved to the bed. We lied on the bed. And at one point, he was like, "Oh, there's more." So he starts seeing more angels. Then he said, "Jesus. Stick. Jesus got a stick." Face like, "Elliot got a stick, his friend." He's like, "Yeah, Elliot's stick." So on the bed and we were just taking this in. And we actually prayed. I've been struggling with a lot of health issues and praying for me, and we prayed for Josie and for his healing. It was an amazing experience. You might be right now in a place where it just does not make sense. You're trying to figure this out. You're trying to understand. Go to the river of peace. Surrender. Give it over to God. I know you want to make sense of it all. And know the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And know that God has sent his angels to take care of you. Because he loves you. Let's pray. Our dear Father, Lord, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you for the true peace that we can have in you. Only in you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to get out of our heads and feel like we need to understand things. Help us to go away from what we want. But Lord, that we really can get to a place where we know what we need, Father. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord, that we can have this hope. Otherwise, we'll just be lost, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.